the generation will really be.
forward, I'd like to remind you that the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed are solely those of individuals involved
and do not necessarily represent those of Petersburg and its members.
Incredible amount of reaction back to yesterday's where we looked at some of the things that attendees at a Trump rally were saying, cult business, conspiracy theorists, conspiracy theorists, people, clueless individuals, ignorant folks, etc.
And a ton of reaction from you about what is fundamentally, when Hillary Clinton talked about deplorables.
These are deplorables. There's no question about it. These are some of the worst participants to the extent that they really participate in the American political landscape. And many of you wrote and said, David, how do we fix? What possible solution could there be to the fact that these neo-reactionaries, as I call them, are, I think many of you reacting to the realization that we're only a few house senators, votes away from the absolute power of the United States political system. They have some sour power right now, fortunately, because you've got a whole bunch of Democrats and then also some Republicans with whom I disagree, but aren't crazy like the conspiracy theorists.
They don't have power like Clinton, but we're close. I mean, a little bit of a shift.
They would actually have real power in the United States. And look at the struggle we're in to defeat this total irrationality.
It shouldn't be this difficult. These are folks, in an insane country.
It wouldn't be this difficult to keep people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, Madison Cawthorn, Lord Bolton, even Trump himself, saying people are flushing the toilet times, and that's a rape criminal. We would have said, wow, that's crazy, but this person never has a chance. They're not going to be my president. In this country, because of the electorate, it is that difficult. In a normal universe, reality and simple logic would be the overwhelming favorite to win.
It would be the default, and it would be the norm.
And yet here we are. We're teetering, really, on the brink of becoming a country run by people who believe our major problems are Satan worshipping politicians, celebrities having to flush toilets 15 times, theories that aren't even taught kids at school, being public enemy one, athletes, whether M&M's attractive enough to a Fox News host, supposed socialism, communism.
A couple of Dr. Seuss books that are being taken out of relation, Bill Gates, a dream of Rome.
You know, Mexican refugees, immigrant children, climate change, mitigation, the enemy, not as something that we need to do, but that's the enemy.
Windmills causing cancer, woke math, Jewish space lasers, I mean, think about that, that's not a short list.
I could go on, there are even more imaginary problems. I could tell you about. And a dangerous card comes in when we think about who these folks most remind us of, and now I'm talking about the cult followers.
Dealing with cultists
doesn't always end well for them or for others. and think about Waco, Waco massacre, when law enforcement went to the compound along with the religious sect Davidians. Think about Ruby Ridge, the 11-day siege in 1992. When there was another one of these called elements. We don't even talk about the entire thing. Jim Jones and the people's temple, the mass murder suicide. Heaven's Gate, the religious movement, again, I believe the term mass suicide is more appropriate, maybe it's murder suicide. Donald Trump got like 47% of the popular vote in 2020. If we imagine that half of those voters are cultists, you're talking about 35 million people. If you say only a quarter of them are real cultists. Still 17.5 million people. If only an eighth of them are cultists, still close to 10 million people. So the main question many of you are concerned with is how do we defeat sanity? We all know that the Republicans and the neo-reactionaries, it's all Ignorant thinking, projection, hypocrisy, and double standard. But we know that just pointing out,
hey, that's a double standard.
Like you say you're against regulation, now you're saying regulate social media and businesses by telling them require vaccines, that's a double standard.
That doesn't work, they don't care.
Feature, not a but. They claim these are principles, but they abandon them as soon as convenient.
You can't really use their own arguments against them because they don't care.
So is the solution to instead focus on how these people bring no solution ever, they just attack imaginary problems.
Maybe that should be the focus.
Tell us exactly how you do X, and they don't, and they can't, and they have no idea.
Maybe that's the approach.
I don't know.
But think about what a country run by these people would look like.
It would, without a doubt, be essentially a white, heterosexual, reactionary, right-wing country, period.
We can't ignore the effect that Barack Obama's presidency has a black hat on many of these folks.
As upset as they were that a liberal black man was in the White House.
We saw that they immediately had to start manufacturing stories about Obama's character laws.
Because fundamentally it was never about policy.
Oh, he went to a church that we don't like.
Look at the things Trump is associated with.
He wore a tan suit.
He's an elitist.
He wants Dijon mustard.
He wasn't born here.
Birth certificate, etc.
And Donald Trump didn't create these people.
But the Trump White House gave these people the language to express their reactionary nature.
With some plausible deniability that they had been searching for decades.
For so long they couldn't say the things they were really thinking.
Because they were so vile and disgusting and phobic and whatever.
And Trump provided them a language that includes America first.
Dealing with immigration, all of these things, the language they say they've been thinking a long time without being totally branded as what they actually are.
Just remember, they don't want to talk to each other and actually have the open dialogue on ideas they want to have.
What they actually want is to impose their ideas above and silence everything else while claiming that they are for free speech.
That's what a lot of the battle on social media is right now.
Their priority is own the libs, suffocate the ideas of the libs, and that's the ultimate goal.
Silence.
And at the end of the day, if they get their way,
Where do they imagine everybody who is like them will go in their vision of America?
Do the people they don't like stay with some kind of second tier status?
That's horrifying.
Do they imagine everybody else leaves a peaceful segregation as some white nationalists talk about?
I don't know.
You can't possibly come up with an answer to that type of question
when you're not dealing with rational human individuals to begin with.
And at the end of the day, politics requires some compromise.
And it requires some rationality.
But these neo-reactionaries believe that they are acting. Some of them believe they're acting literally in the name of God. With others, it's pseudo-deity that's at the head of their cult. It could be Trump or Marjorie Taylor Greene or whoever. So they won't compromise. And I'm as scared as you are about the path forward.
If you have some idea about how to productively deprogram these people,
I still want to put together what might be some kind of coherent strategy. Let me know. Many people going bonkers about the reportedly accepted offer for Elon Musk to buy Twitter. There are people on the right welcoming open arms and saying free speech, return to Twitter.
And it's going to be great.
And you have people on the left saying this is a dystopian nightmare. Let's talk through what's going on. And then I will give you my take on it.
Twitter has accepted Elon Musk's buyout deal.
The report is that Twitter has accepted the offer for Elon Musk to take the company private. Twitter is a publicly traded company right now.
The idea would be that Elon Musk secures financing at $420 per share
to buy the company and to take it private. There were rumors floating that there's no way this is happening.
And it appears to me now it still needs to actually go through the due diligence regulation phase.
And it's possible that this will fall apart, but I'm more concerned with what the reaction should be. Now, one of the problems I'm having with the reaction many is that it is very black and white. This is Elon Musk's savior, and Twitter, and Trump will be back, and all these different things.
And then the other side of it is that the absolute worst happened because Elon Musk is an absolutely terrible person.
One of the problems that we're facing in the United States and around the world is that everything is based around personality and cult of personality.
And I think we should resist that very strongly.
As I've said before, when it comes to elected officials, I don't see politicians and elected officials as being any different than you or I.
We've talked about the dangerous cult around Donald Trump.
But I was the first to tell you, as a Bernie supporter in 2020.
I didn't like cultural personality that developed around Bernie, and you know wrong.
Oh, you don't like what he said? Well, you must have misunderstood what he said, or you're deliberately misstating what he said.
No, you know wrong.
Cult of personality around Tulsi Gabbard.
There was one around Andrew Yang.
There's one around Jordan Peterson.
I'm against all of it.
We need to just see people as more nuanced than that.
So when we talk about someone like Elon Musk, that's the question here.
Does Elon Musk have a history of suppressing unionization at his companies?
Yeah, and I'm against that.
That's not good.
Has Elon Musk dramatically accelerated the path forward on a number of important technologies?
100%.
The current rush that every manufacturer of automobiles has.
Not only put out electric vehicles, whose range can match Tesla.
Is only happening because of what Elon Musk did with Tesla.
And at Tesla, bad things have also happened.
There's allegations of racism, union.
All of these different things.
But the Tesla advancement of electric vehicle range as a normal thing has led to Chevy, Ford, Audi, Mercedes, Rivian, all these companies saying, hey, we got to up our game.
We've got to compete here.
That's a great thing.
When you talk about the return to space and SpaceX.
Musk reinvigorated what is now an increased interest in getting back to space, which I think is good.
Starlink, satellite internet, anywhere in the world.
These are great things.
And from a business standpoint, I've learned it's not a good bet against Elon Musk when he's determined to do something.
And he also has some terrible political instincts.
Tweets horrible things.
And has all of these other things that aren't very progressive to me.
The track record on free speech, we have a report from BCNBC about Musk's record on free speech, not a great record.
He's sought control over bloggers, analysts, and others about his business.
He's reportedly canceled people's Tesla order.
When the blogger blogged Elon Musk didn't like.
So what does this mean for Twitter? I have absolutely no idea.
It could be bad.
no doubt about it. But I think the problem I'm having is that all of the discussion, 99% of the discussion,
is based around people's pre-existing opinion about Elon Musk being a greatly great figure or as a unique, terrible figure, and that's extraordinarily short-sighted.
My main concern with Musk's Twitter
is that of consolidation and monopoly.
I don't really love the idea of one person controlling so many major companies.
Elon Musk is going to control Twitter.
And Tesla, which is now, I believe, by market cap, the largest auto manufacturer in the United States. And SpaceX, which is, I believe, the most important private space exploration company.
It starts consolidating power, is my primary concern.
Will Trump be back on Twitter as a result of Elon Musk unbanning Trump?
I have absolutely no idea.
Trump says he doesn't go back on.
That seems like a minor detail at this point.
So let me know your thoughts about the Twitter takeover.
But try to make substance rather than by just your opinion of Elon Musk as an individual, which the right is praying at the altar of Musk.
And it seems unhinged.
And also I'm on the left who are just painting him as a uniquely terrible character, which also doesn't strike me as accurate.
Let me know your thoughts.
I'm on Twitter at DPacman.
The David Pacman Show is an audience-supported program, and I would love for you to sign up and join Pacman.com. Get yourself a membership.
You'll get an extra show every day called the Bonus Show.
Alex Jones hates the bonus show. Everybody else's money is funny. He hates that. That's a sign it's probably pretty cool.
You can sign up at joinpacman.com and use the coupon code WOW22 to get a discount.
We have some incredible messages that you may remember about Mark Meadows, Donald Trump's final chief of staff lasting through the end of Trump's presidency.
CNN has more than 2,300 text messages involving Mark Meadows, and what they expose is truly incredible.
What we learned, we're going to look at some of these messages momentarily.
They were brainstorming how to lie about the Trump riot.
How to cover their you-know-what about the Trump riot.
They were coordinating a response that they knew wasn't actually based in fact.
And we're going to look at a couple of these text messages.
These are fascinating.
Sean Hannity, the Fox News propagandist, texted Mark Meadows and said,
Is North Carolina going to be okay?
And Mark Meadows said, Hannity, stress, every vote matters.
Get out and vote on radio.
And Hannity responds, yes, sir.
Quite literally,
Fox propagandist taking his marching orders from the chief of staff, the president of the United States.
Expected it.
But here we have the proof.
Sean Hannity responded on it.
Any particular place we need to push?
And Meadows wrote back, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Arizona, Nevada.
And Hannity got it everywhere.
There were some texts with Schlapp and Mark Meadows, which aren't super interesting.
On November 6th, just after the election,
Jason Miller was putting out talking points so that others could argue that something suspicious and probably won.
Texting. One other key data point.
In 2016, Trump received 15.5% of the vote in Philly County.
Today, he's at 18.3%.
So he did better in that county.
In 2016, Philly County made up 11% of the total vote.
As it currently stands, Philly County only makes up 10% of the statewide vote.
So Trump performed better in a smaller share.
Santorum was making his point on CNN, hard against the urban feeling narrative.
Okay, so they're coming up with these ideas to try to support the claim, false, not based on evidence that Trump actually won.
Rick Perry texted Mark Meadows.
We have the data-driven program that clearly shows fraud was committed.
This is the silver bullet.
Pam Bondi's belt seen and agrees.
All day, every day, sending things back and forth.
Ginny Thomas, the wife of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, was texting Mark Meadows,
trying to understand the Sidney Powell distancing.
Remember, this was when the Trump campaign said, "Oh,
Sidney Powell, that crazy lawyer,
she's on her own,
not really with us."
And Meadows wrote back,
"She doesn't have anything,
or at least she won't share if she does."
To which Ginny Thomas responds,
"Wow."
Some other text messages
that I want to look at
with you.
Donald Trump Jr.
texted Mark Meadows
on January 6th
as the riots were taking place
and said he's got to end this ASAP.
The Capitol Police is not enough.
Mark Meadows writes back, I'm pushing hard,
I agree.
This is one you go to the mattresses on.
They will try to F his entire legacy on this
if it gets worse.
Don Jr.,
seemingly unable to talk sense into his own father,
was texting Mark Meadows
saying, the one tweet isn't enough.
They're going to screw him on this.
Mick Mulvaney.
Texted Mark Meadows
saying, Mark, he needs to stop this now.
Can I do anything to help?
Republican Congressman William Timmons texted.
The president needs to stop this.
They all knew how bad this was.
And they knew it was Trumpist.
And they knew it was bad for Trump
on January 6th.
Rince Priebus
texted Mark Meadows
saying,
tell them to go home.
They all knew what it was
and how bad it looked.
They all knew it.
And yet
publicly
they continued to spin a different line.
And that night, January 6th at night,
the very Fox host were texting Meadows.
And they all knew it was Trumpist.
They all knew Trump wasn't doing enough to stop it.
The fact that he instigated it.
They went on Fox and said,
it could have been Antifa.
Could have been Black Lives Matter.
Who knows who it was.
So recently,
Democratic Congressman Jamie Raskin said
he now is convinced
that this was a coordinated effort
to cause these riots
and then to run interference.
He says they have the evidence, they have the money, and it's going to come out.
And now we have the text.
Whether this is all of it or part of it,
we don't yet know.
But the story, public woe.
We knew it was not accurate.
That's not a shock.
Now,
what is it? 15 months in?
We knew they weren't telling the truth.
But now we know that it was a coordinated effort.
To deceive.
They just had the wrong understanding of what happened.
It's truly incredible.
Last Friday, I covered a hearing under oath
at which radical Republican Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene
testified.
And the point of the hearing was to ascertain
whether she cited an insurrection on January 6th.
The idea is if Greene cited an insurrection,
she can't run in 2022
because you're not allowed to incite an insurrection and then hold off.
So there was this hearing.
She was under oath.
Now she repeated that she didn't remember.
Just about anything.
She was asked.
Did you ever suggest that Trump put in martial law?
She said, I don't remember.
Did you ever say that Nancy Pelosi shot?
No, I don't remember.
And on and on, we all knew that she was lying.
We know she remembered, but I don't recall.
It's a legal strategy
because you're not denying that you said it.
Which can be proven wrong.
You're just saying you don't remember.
And the idea is, I don't remember.
They can't prove I'm lying.
This goes away.
Now we know she committed petty perjury.
And we're going to look at some examples.
Many of you will email me and you'll say, David,
you're not in a position to say whether it's perjury.
Because you don't know what was in her mind.
Perjury is state of mind.
You know when you say, I don't remember.
You actually do remember.
And I can see that.
We're not in a courtroom here.
What we're saying is, unless she has serious dementia,
it's not plausible that she didn't remember anything that was disadvantageous.
But then when her lawyer starts asking for details of what happened on January 6th,
he says, well, at 1:30 we've moved into your location.
And then I received a text telling us that the truck is fired.
Now you do remember.
So we're in a public opinion here.
On the David Chapman Show.
And it's obvious she committed very heavy perjury.
Let's look at some examples here.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, let's see if we can get these up.
Marjorie Taylor Greene
on January 17th
texted
Mark Meadows
and said,
in our private chat with only members, several are saying the only way to save our republic is for Trump to call for martial law.
By the way, instead of martial,
she's martial like the name M-A-R-S-H-A-L-L-L.
We're not even going to get into that.
That's funny, too.
I don't know on those.
I just wanted you to tell him.
They stole the election. We all know
they will destroy our country next.
Please tell him to declassify as much as possible.
We can go after Biden or Biden and anyone else.
So she said to Mark Meadows,
I want you to tell
people martial law.
Communicate to him
that martial law is something that should be considered.
And then
she was asked
during the hearing about this, and here's what she said.
Despite the screen that you advocate as President Trump holding martial law the way to remain around in power.
I don't recall.
So you're not denying you did it. I don't
remember.
Okay.
Well, maybe that one she genuinely doesn't remember.
She was also asked,
What were you thinking?
When
all of the invasion
started happening at the Capitol,
who do you think was doing it?
She said we thought it was Antifa or Black Lives Matter.
And when you were notified that people had been able to enter the Capitol illegally, did you also understand at that point that there had been violence at the Capitol?
I heard it. And we were so confused because we thought the riots had gone on and on throughout 2020, and so she says in the moment they thought it was Trump who was at the rally, they just walked out and rioted at the Capitol.
But it doesn't even seem believable because we now have another text that she sent to Mark Meadows as this is going on, where she said, Mark, I was told there's an active shooter on the first floor of the Capitol.
Please tell the president to calm people. This is the way to solve anything.
Nothing about we think it's Antifa, nothing about we think it's Black Lives Matter. And more pointedly,
if it was Antifa or Black Lives Matter,
They're not going to listen to Trump saying calm down.
Why would Trump calm down his enemies?
Trump would only be able to calm down the people on his side.
So another example, she obviously knew that the people there were Trumpists.
Last example today, although there's many more.
During Marjorie Taylor Greene's under oath hearings,
she was asked about the Capitol rioter named Anthony Aguero.
And in the testimony,
She said he's a distant friend.
I've not spent much time with him. He's just a distant friend.
Although Aguero, Marjorie Taylor Greene, is a close friend.
Well, there is now a deleted video. Marjorie Taylor Greene deleted this video.
Where she said he is a great friend of hers.
Take a look at this.
Because my friend Anthony is my dear friend.
My dear friend, and not a distant friend.
No, my dear friend.
I love him so much, he's one of the greatest guys I know.
One of the greatest guys I know, I love him so much.
So just another example of the obvious perjury.
When Marjorie Taylor Greene said, I don't remember, I don't really know.
Now I'm right there with you, prosecuted for perjury.
Is very difficult.
You have proof she knew she was lying.
You have proof she did remember.
So it's strategic memory loss, and by every legal analysis I've seen, it's an effective strategy.
But she obviously lied.
We'll have this on our Instagram at David Pakman Show.
Today we had a horrible thing happen once in a while. We have a guest, a beautiful guest.
And they know, called no show, giving no notice whatsoever, they are not planning to join the interview.
But the upside is, we'll hear from you.
Via Discord at davidpakman.com/discord.
Let's first, to Rose from the United States, the United States General.
Welcome.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, the quality's fine. I know you're quite a friend.
It's quite good, thank you.
Okay.
Dividing line. Sure.
And so even to take a more obvious example, like the growth of the Trumpism in a country.
Yes.
How can you, it seems as if it's not that we want to get the country to the same place.
But we have different ideas on how to get there.
It's like we want to get it completely different places.
Correct.
So how can you debate someone or argue with someone when it's that different?
On individual issues, sometimes you are 100% correct that the 30,000 vision for the United States of America is very different from the social democrat.
But sometimes at the issue level, the end goal is the same.
So, for example, you find a lot of depictions about abortion.
Many people on the left agree they would love to reduce the number of abortions.
And people on the right say that they want the number to be zero.
The difference is the people on the left would say, let's reduce abortion by making comprehensive sex education, making sure women know that if they do have a kid, they're going to be able to afford all of the associated costs.
Whereas the right says, let's ban it and make people ashamed for even thinking of it.
So that's an example where even though the vision is different.
If we can find some similarity in the end goal, then we engage in how we collectively get there.
So I think maybe what I'm saying is, while your correct vision is very different in different political factions,
there might be some overlap in the end goal with enough people on the right that we could have some productive conversations.
That would be nice.
It's a little bit pie in the sky, but at least it's an optimistic perspective, I guess.
Sure, I mean, you have to start somewhere, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I appreciate it.
All right, thanks so much for the call. Great to hear from you.
Why don't we go next to Jamie Hannity, you're on the air.
Hey David, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I called in a couple times before and most of my questions were hypothetical, so let me hear you two often and then I'll tell you which questions are going to be answered. Okay, I was just wondering, let's say the Democrats get hypothetically to do down, and then they decided to rule change, try to pass what they tried to do back in January and failed.
They hypothetically, like Manchin and Sinema, are like, well, we're switching parties, so that goes back to 50-50.
Do you see something like that happening? No.
Okay. No, I don't think so.
Okay. And another thing that I was just wondering was,
how do I tell my mom about abortion?
Because what are you trying to do?
She's Catholic, so she doesn't agree with it.
Okay, let me ask you this. Is it merely an academic discussion, or is there a practical nature to the discussion?
No, it's mostly academic, mostly emotional. Like she doesn't agree with it whatsoever. She says she doesn't agree with it on the principle whatsoever.
Well, I'm curious, Jamie, you're in Canada, and abortion is relatively legal and relatively accessible in Canada, correct?
So I guess my question is, what do you want to achieve?
What's the point of fighting this? You just want to convince her Twitter for some reason.
I don't want to be friends anymore. I think she thinks that things shouldn't be. And I said, I'm trying to say to her. I suppose I'm going to be passive, very emotional, and I just want a more factual way of having this conversation.
Well, listen, to give you specific ideas, we would need to go into her. People are opposed to abortion for reasons, so you need to meet them where they are, and we don't have to go that deep. But one thing I would think about is, is this really a fight you want to have with your mom?
No, maybe you just don't. And she said probably the last year I'm going to vote that way.
All right, well, Jamie keeps us posted. Thank you so much, Jamie Canada. He's got his hands there, that's clear.
Let's go to Aaron from Los Angeles.
Aaron, welcome to the show.
I don't know if it's intellectually right term, but there's been a lot of articles regarding this, and just to be clear, I'm actually triple back to everything, and everything, so before I go into this, I just want to say that. I understand that the source of the controversy is going to become intellectual property, copyright, and vaccines being distributed to the cells as quickly as they should, and a lot of people are identifying this as a major COVID-19 pandemic slowing down. I was wondering, did our farms do to perhaps reform or intellectual property rights, prevent these pharmaceutical companies from preventing necessary access to vaccines?
Well, with the vaccine specifically, the desire has been for the vaccines to essentially not be protected by copyright or intellectual property protection. And just to be able to open source and anywhere, and there was a period where NASA said we still have our patent, but we're not necessarily going to force it. I don't know ultimately what happened with that. There's a number of different things going on with vaccine distribution, but I'm not exactly sure.
With vaccine specifically, it's one set of problems. There's also other intellectual property issues that exist and will be dealt with in different ways. So I'm just not sure how to address the question.
Okay, I understand that. Bill Gates has been kind of intellectual property, even since the software industry, really, really one of the things that he was best known for. Yeah, the issue about the bundling of Internet Explorer, Windows, and gave hours and hours of pretty notable depositions, and perfectly fine, I don't know that Bill Gates is a player right now, and ongoing on the vaccines.
Okay, I understand. I just think that maybe the effect of the COVID-19 influence within, I just think that like maybe the effect of the COVID-19 influence within, I just think that like maybe the effect of the COVID-19 influence within, I just think that like maybe the effect of the COVID-19 influence within, I just think that like maybe the effect of the COVID-19 influence within, I just think that like maybe the effect of the COVID-19 influence within, I just think that like maybe the effect of the COVID-19 influence within, I just think that like maybe the effect of the COVID-19 influence within, I just think that like maybe the effect of the COVID-19 influence within, I just think that like maybe the effect of the COVID-19 influence within, I just think that like maybe the effect of the COVID-19 influence within, I just think that like maybe the effect of the COVID-19 influence within, I just think that like maybe the effect of the COVID-19 influence within, I just think that like maybe the effect of the COVID-19 influence within, I just think that like maybe the effect of the COVID-19 influence within, I just think that like maybe the effect of the COVID-19 influence within, I just think that
point well said and well taken. I appreciate the call very much.
Glad we get to speak to a few people today who are guests on us. We'll still take the broader call for our Friday show.
We'll take a quick break and be back right after this. So I'm really depressed about what's going on in Pennsylvania. As many of you know, following the Pennsylvania Senate race, I'll show you the moment control of the U.S. Senate after November, after an election, depends on who wins Pennsylvania because of a number of different dynamics, realities about who's up for re-election, there are open seats and this thing. So we're very interested in who's going to be the next senator of Pennsylvania. On the Democratic side, I've been leaning very heavily towards John and the Lieutenant Governor. And on the Republican side, the story has been television Dr. Mehmet Oz is running as a Republican.
And he has celebrity Donald Trump endorsement, et cetera.
Last night, there was a Democratic primary debate and a Republican primary debate.
And I found both debates extraordinarily depressing.
We're going to look at some clips of the Republican part.
I wasn't able to find the Democratic side,
but I watched it yesterday.
And it was just really depressing.
So Fetterman's policies I like.
Seemed disoriented, confused. He was slow to respond. He didn't make any sense.
It was a terrible performance where when I watched the Republican debate,
my thought was any of the five candidates running on the Republican side would do well against Fetterman.
So while I like Fetterman's policy,
his debate performance was terrible.
In terms of the other candidate on the Democratic side, there was a woman, Khalil, I believe his name was. And then a younger guy named Malcolm Kenyatta, and then Connor Lamb. Kenyatta had some good answers.
But at one point, he said no, and asked whether he wants to answer a question, and he said no.
And it was bizarre.
Connor Lamb, clearly the most polished in media preparation, but a very uninspiring kind of center-left established Democrat.
It wasn't one of these people rush a debate against these Republicans.
So that was on the Democratic side.
It wasn't thrilling, to say the least.
On the Republican side, it was straight up sinister disinformation.
I mean, just absolutely crazy.
We're going to look at a couple of clips.
First of all, the debate opened with an argument over who really is from Pennsylvania, based on how long they've been in Pennsylvania.
Here's a little bit of a 70 percent Republican voters said the amount of time they handed in Pennsylvania is 10 or 10 weeks. It was 14 weeks. We begin with Mr. McCormick. Can't be counting on your Pennsylvania, but you have not actually lived in Pennsylvania for the last 15 years. So explain why it seems that you've been talking to the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. So how long have you been in Pennsylvania?
So the first question, everybody talked about how long they had been in Pennsylvania.
Okay, I mean, yeah, there's the voters, they care about it, but it's already not actually substantive.
Then there was Trump sucking up portion of the entire thing where Trump endorsed Dr. Oz, and basically every answer would mention that.
But every candidate tried to suck up Trump. That was the next section. President Trump did what he was responsible for.
Then it was an argument over who lived in Pennsylvania the longest enough. Then it was an argument over which of us was most liked by Trump and most like Trump.
The funniest moment from the entire thing was when Dave McCormick, who seems to be kind of like the second, right up there with Mehmet Oz,
Barnett,
they seem to be the front runners.
He said there's no miracle cure. I love, Dr. Oz,
the history guy promoting all sorts of cures.
This was probably his funniest moment.
And now we're stepping in the problem, doctor. There's no miracle cure.
That's why I'm taking off from the polls. That's actually pretty clever.
But these are all absolutely terrible people, and unfortunately, I hate to say this, but if I'm honest,
The energy of any of these five candidates would likely come off better in a debate against four Democratic candidates. I hate to say it.
Here's one last where candidates attack Barnett for how big her margin of loss was in her previous election.
And then they argue over who most believes in the 2020 big lie.
Washington, you can count on me. They did not steal that election by 20 points. She lost her last election. Weak Democrat. John Fetterman is not a weak Democrat. He's strong. I will beat John Fetterman. Thank you. I am going to give you 30 seconds to respond. Thank you so much for that, because our name, that there was absolutely no fraud, that there was no issue, because apparently that's what she's saying, all of us in the Republican Party have a candidate, a strong stance, who is saying that there will be nothing to see in that 2020 election.
But beyond that, you know, they say that you are America's most disillusioned president, and yet you reject Ms. Barnett, and I'm going to give you 15 seconds to respond to that.
President Trump doesn't always get the best advice.
There were actually times where each candidate was given 10 seconds to respond. I mean, the format doesn't work. The candidates are lunatic, the topics are absurd. So it's all very, very depressing.
Now, why does Pennsylvania matter so much?
Well, when you look at 270.wind.com, they have a number of different maps that you can look at.
If you look at the 2022 census map, Pennsylvania is one of only five Senate toss-up states.
If you look at Sabato's Wall, Pennsylvania is one of only four toss-up states.
If you look at the Politico map, Pennsylvania is one of five toss-up states.
If you run a number of different scenarios, consider them.
In a lot of Pennsylvania, the Democrats control the Senate, or whether Republicans control the Senate, and unfortunately, I didn't find any of it particularly exciting.
Let me know your thoughts, watch you watch the debates.
I have a story for you today that is about many things we've been talking about, and the fundamental story is about conspiracy theorists moving to Central and South America, Mexico and Central America.
And starting kind of conspiracy off the grid commune, and really wild.
But it points to a number of different issues we've talked about.
One is these people rarely believe only one conspiracy.
That's what can make them so dangerous.
Number two, there is almost always anti-Semitism.
If you find any real conspiracy believer,
there will almost always be openly or implicitly anti-Semitic belief, and of course, literally.
So let's look at this clip, the Vice News went down to check out these enclaves, and it speaks for itself.
The brothers, Bruce, buyers a community of about 214 lots.
Right, each one for $30,000 plus the cost of building a house.
About 20% of them have sold.
People come out, so I like AC. Can I have AC?
Yes.
We have all the much ones, we have internet, we have TV, we have a nice kitchen. So it's leading the city, so we're going to walk to phase two.
All of the conditions in modern society, without any of us, sounds like utopia.
But when all conspiracies are given equal credence, some dark ideas can appear.
Wild, wild.
What brings you here today, Joanne?
We have a big bunch of demons that are trying to control our lives. So let's see what's going on. We might have to hit the hills.
So now we're with demons. She might be literal or metaphorical demons. We don't yet know. But just wait.
I am worried about the injections, COVID vaccines, injections outside, when you are being injected into the body.
And you're hugging
knocking out the cloud. This is crazy.
It's just hard for me because so much of what you're saying, like I've never heard of before, and it goes against the things that I hold are true.
I would say it more strongly because when you say you haven't heard of something, you got to inform yourself. But really, there's been no evidence presented to suggest any of this is true.
For so much, and then you're going to get into the answer, you're going to have to tell me, stop, which was, were there gas chambers in Germany? Yes, well, that's a great answer, but it's a wrong answer. So what you're saying is that it's an attack on them personally, no, what is this have to do with
Lie, so maybe people can't lie in what's going on with COVID-19, but there are many books and many experts took apart gas story stories 101 different ways.
What is the rest of you guys think of this? There's always a difference between people, normal trade, so we should not judge people based on what they say or don't say. Joanne is all these alternatives are brought together by one thing.
They're against the COVID vaccine mandate. So it's very, very scary, and this is why I tend to agree with the conspiracy cult that we talked about. Maybe they believe the flat earth stuff, or they just don't want the vaccine because they've grabbed the crack side in it and it'll queue up loud or whatever. But there's really ugly stuff underlying it, exactly as you saw there.
Unfortunately, that is not going to be someone you can talk sense into.
We have a voicemail number, that number is 219-2-DAVY. Here's a question about being at restaurants.
Hey, first of all, I hate the restaurant, the places, the food, the travel, the country, where the policy or occupation is different. It also always for restaurant owners to get out of the cocaine, haze, properly, and get tip, but I tip 20% of service myself because I know that it's not the fault of the restaurant employees. That's the system. I would like to get rid of it and have it as much cleaner.
Don't tip prices already account for properly paying our staff.
That's all you got to do. That would be my preference.
We have a great bonus show for you today.
Sign up at joinhackman.com to get instant access.
We will see you on the bonus show today.
What we call jazz. sounds from your favorite radio station to places you never thought possible? Well, now you can, because WRCT is live on the internet. Just point your browser to www.wrct.org and click on our live MP3 broadcast. Now you can go out of town with any feelings or loss or regret or leaving behind, because we're just a mouse click away. WRCT live on the internet, because why should Pittsburgh have all the fun?
Pose, fame, think I'm hot. You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
Germany's now begin sending dozens of armored anti-air vehicles to Ukraine and
Ukraine in a policy shift. On Tuesday, U.S. Secretary Lloyd Austin met with military leaders from 40 nations at the U.S. Air Base in Rheinisch, Germany. Austin vowed allied nations would do more to help on Ukraine.
But we don't have any time to waste. The briefing today laid out clearly why the coming weeks will be so crucial for Ukraine. So we've got to move at the speed of war. And I know that all the leaders leave today more resources than ever to support Ukraine in its fight against Russian aggression and atrocities.
More details are emerging about how the United States is providing real-time intelligence, even specific coordinates to Ukraine to help them attack Russian forces. NBC News is reporting Ukraine shot down a Russian transplant carrying hundreds of troops in the early days of the war based on information provided by the United States. The U.S. intelligence has also helped Ukraine move its air defenses to avoid Russian strikes. In addition, NBC's reporting the CIA is devoting significant resources by gathering intelligence to help protect Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. On Tuesday, Russian